Let me tell you, for the last 2 weeks, we have been going through a series called How to Impact Your World. How do you impact your world? And we have been taking some life lessons from Daniel. Today we are on the third part of that series. And as we look in the past couple of weeks, just want to give you a small recap. You know, in chapter 1, we see something that each of them did, especially Daniel. Chapter number 1, if you see Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, it says that Daniel had some godly convictions. And it says he made a decision that he will not defile himself with the king's food. And that resulted in a great victory for him. And it says that they found him better than, in verse number 17, God gave him knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. So for those children who are saying, I don't have enough knowledge or wisdom, do what Daniel did. No, don't defile yourself with the world. Stand up for the Lord, and God is going to bless us abundantly. So the first chapter spoke to us about how you can develop some godly convictions in your life. Last Sunday we looked at the second incident that happened. So with each incident we are learning a little bit more about Daniel. Last week we heard about Daniel, who was a man of prayer, because he used to pray. And we see later on, we will see that he used to pray 3 times a day. He was always in prayer and in touch with God. So when a crisis came to their life, they did not run to the lawyer. He did not run to the doctor. He did not run to the counselors. They ran to the presence of God. In chapter 2, we see in verses 17 and 18 that Daniel, along with his 3 friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they got together into a prayer meeting. They held hands and they prayed to the Lord. And God gave them a revelation in the night time that they were able to give to the king. And we see what happened, that even the king acknowledged that truly this is the God. If you see down, the king said, you know, this is the God whom that I'm serving. In chapter 2 verses 47 it says, the king acknowledged to Daniel, truly your God is the God of all gods and the Lord of kings. He is a revealer of secrets, since you could not reveal this secret. And so with every crisis moment, God is promoting Daniel in the kingdom. Each time there was a crisis coming, when Daniel takes the right step, they get promoted. They don't go down. So here it says in verse number 48, the king promoted Daniel and he gave him many gifts. I cannot even imagine what those gifts were. Probably not Bank of America checks. I'm not sure they had banks those days. But he gave them gifts. And he said he made them the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. You know, from a nobody, a slave boy, Daniel became the ruler of Babylon. And even his and the chief administrator over the province, over all the wise men of Babylon. Look at it. When they decide to go to God in prayer, not only God revealed the secret in the night, but God gave them promotion in their secular jobs. Let me tell to all the brothers and sisters, you go and you work overtime and do whatever to please your manager. If God's favor is not there in your life, I'm telling you, you'll be stuck up in a rut. And the promotion that you're looking for is something that God is the one who is going to give. Because in Psalm 75 says, promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He lifts somebody up and he puts down another. Truly, if you want to get a raise in your life, you want an increase, you want to be an effective person, turn to the Lord and trust in him. So the king promoted Daniel. Now we are coming to the third chapter. For some reason, Daniel is not there. Now, the thing that the 3 friends of Daniel, we are reading their story. And today I would say the title is, Stand Courageously for What You Believe. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I wish I had the time. We are almost at the end of the time here. So I'm going to very quickly say what was there. In chapter number 3, the story is that the king set an image of gold 90 feet high. Can you imagine the amount of gold the king had? 90 feet high statue. And he told everybody, and he set them high on the plain of Dura. He said everybody should fall and worship at the sound of music. Anybody who does not worship will be cast into the fiery furnace. So we see that everybody did that. Everybody except 3 people who decided to stand courageously for God. Their names here are mentioned as Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. The Babylonian names for what the king gave. But truly they were truly, I believe, Jews at heart. And their names were Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. They would not leave the commitment that they made to God. Because you know what? I'm not going to be reading the passage. But you can read from verses 13 onwards. You know, they declared to the king boldly, "O king, you know, we will be very quick to answer to you. You know, the God that we serve," because the king said, "I'm going to throw into you into a fiery furnace. You will be burnt into ashes if you don't obey my commandment." And these 3 friends said in chapter 3 verse 17 that it is possible for my God to deliver us. But this is the beauty of the statement, which many times we don't do it. We only are after the blessing. We say, "God, if you bless me, I will do this. If you answer my prayer, I will follow you. If you don't answer, let me look other places." But here, look at the 3 friends, what they're saying. "Let it be known to you," chapter 3, verse number 18, "that we will not serve your gods. We will not bow down before the idol. Even if God does not deliver us from the burning bush, we are not going to bow down before an idol." Why did these 3 friends say that? Because of the 10 commandments that Moses gave, the 2nd commandment was that you shall not bow before an idol. "I am the Jehovah God. You shall serve me only." And they were obeying. And so they were standing courageously for what they believed. They said, if God would deliver us from death, that is fine. But even if he does not deliver, and that is the beauty of the statement, even if God does not deliver, even if God does not give me a promotion, even if my relationship does not mend after my prayer, Lord, I am still going to serve you. I am not going to deny my God, because he is my God. And so this is what we see. They said, whatever calamity comes, we are not going to go down. It is the faithfulness towards the commitment. But not only be faithful, be courageous. Many of us are so timid. We don't even open our mouth and say, this is the truth. But today, people of God, we are coming to a time. You have to stand courageously. If you don't, you will be one among the people of the world. Don't accept everything that the world is spewing to you. But go back to the word of God. Let what God's word be your motto and be what you are following. So one of the things I want to just mention, a few things. One of the things I see about the story is that they had already made the decision. They are not going to bow down no matter what happens. Even if they are going to die, and they knew that they are going to die. So no matter what happened, we are not going to bow down. The second thing I see from the story is that not only were they being tested through their crisis, but God was also being tested. Why do I say that? Turn with me to chapter 3, verse number 15. You know whom did Nebuchadnezzar challenge? Nebuchadnezzar did not challenge these 3 friends. Look here, in the last part of verse number 15, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? I am going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Who is the God? Who is going to deliver you?" This guy had forgotten very quickly the God who revealed the secret to Daniel. He forgot it. He said, "Who is the God?" He challenged God. Let me tell you, sometimes when crisis come in your life, not only are you being challenged, but God is challenged too. If you are a faithful servant of God. Nebuchadnezzar was not afraid of Jehovah God. He said, who is the God? And you know what? God decided to do something wonderful. The third and the most important, beautiful thing that I loved from the story, I want to share to you. You know, the three young men, they stood at God's presence. They looked for God. He was nowhere to be found. They gave the statement by faith. They were looking for God. God was nowhere to be found. The mighty people, they bound their hands and feet. They tied them up. They looked around. God was nowhere to be found. And these people, they threw them into the furnace. God was nowhere to be found. When did God appear to the three people? After they were thrown into the flame. We see that they saw a fourth man walking with them inside the furnace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They were walking by faith. They were not walking by sight. Many times we serve God and we say, Lord, show me a sign. Do something for me. But God stopped himself from revealing himself until the last minute. After they were thrown into the flame, the Son of God came there down. Along with the three, there was a fourth man in the flame. And who was he? Who was that man? Who recognized that? Look down here. In Nebuchadnezzar's case, when he looked at the fire, verse number 25, he said, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Imagine God coming down in the midst of the fire and God walking with them in the fire. Hallelujah. You think your God is not able to save you? The king recognized that it is the Son of God. And when they were brought out of the fire, look there. Verse number 27. Not only that they were not burned. The beauty, I find some of the verses very beautiful. It says there was not even a smell. Not even a smell of fire upon their bodies. Can you imagine what God did? God clothed them with his glory. That the fire cannot even touch them. My brothers and sisters, I don't know what crisis moment you're going through right now. I am introducing you to a God who will walk with you in the fire. He is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. They looked at the face of God in the midst of the fire. And God smiled at them. And the king said, come out now, come out. I want to see you. They walked out. And the bad part of it, some people say the fire was not hot. The people who threw them, they died. You cannot argue with a thing that the fire was not hot or it was maybe they were doing something. No, those men who threw, they died. The fire was hot, but God was in the midst of fire. You know, what was God fulfilling the promise? He was fulfilling his promise in Isaiah 43 verse 2. He says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you. Hallelujah. I want to close here. We are almost at the end of time. These three friends are a model for us today. Do you think your life is going to be easy from now on? I will tell you no. The world is getting wicked and wicked. We are preparing for an antichrist, a time of antichrist. And now your credit cards are working everywhere. In the ATM machines, in the shopping complexes. Everything is going to be, your Apple Pay, everything is working. There is a time coming. They will put a number of the beast upon you. And then only your money will start working. Are you going to deny your God at that time? And say, I never knew you, God. I want to live my life. I am telling you, we are coming into very grievous times. I am calling upon you. Unless you are courageous like the three friends of Daniel. And say, Lord, I will die for you. But I'm not going to bow before an idol. Then only God is going to bless you. So this evening I'm telling you, you need to stand up for Christ. I know some of you don't say a word when people speak against Christians in your workplace. You are not willing to suffer shame by being a witness of the Christ. I know in your workplace you are a silent Christian. your friend does not even know that you are a child of God because you never open your mouth and speak to them. But I'm telling you, take opportunities for witnessing about Christ, because the Lord said in John 15 verses 18 and 20, if the world hates you, understand it hated me before it hates you. If they persecuted me, they are going to persecute you. Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not floating in the clouds to heaven. It's a hard life to stand against the assault of the devil. And to stand up, you have to be bold and courageous and say that I am not going to bow down to the face of any idol. You know, the Lord, there is a consequence of following Jesus. You have to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross daily. And to be a disciple of Jesus is not easy. You can be a member of a church. You can come and be a part of the church worship. But the Lord does not want kind of a member. He wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to follow Him. And you need to do the will of God. And you need to understand what God wants. You know, Jesus got killed because He did good things. When you do good things, you may be also killed. 11 out of the 12 disciples of Jesus were martyrs. They died for the cause of the Lord. This is not an easy life. I know Christianity has watered down to feel good. Prosperity gospel. That is not what my Bible speaks. My Bible says that when you face persecutions, bless the Lord, be joyous, because your reward is great in heaven. This is what the Word of God tells. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? I want you to ask yourself, do I have the courage to tell other people that I am a child of God? Do I have the courage to accept the consequence of being different? Maybe my friends will make fun of me in my class. Maybe I'll be put down and say, you're a preacher boy. Doesn't matter. Do I have the courage to have the faith in Christ? Hallelujah. Close your eyes, everyone. Hallelujah. Can we all just stand up on our feet for a moment? Very quickly, we are going to sing a song that really touched my heart, that we should stand on the promise of God. Every day in our life, let us stand on the promise of God.